is going on, DGEN Nation? Tyler Tambolin here, bringing you another edition of the Fantasy Golf Degenerates podcast. No Kenny Kim this week. He told you. He didn't lie to you. He told you all along he was taking this week off. There was going to be a vacation week in there. I don't know why he didn't just wait till the last one and combine it all together. I'm more of a congregate the whole vacation that way after the swing season's over, but that's okay. Got our main resident fill-in, my guy, Ryan Baroff. Mr. Baroff, how you doing this week, my man?
I am good, Tambo. Thanks for having me. I was pleasantly surprised to hear from Kenny today, but it was pretty early. I don't know what he was doing up at 8 o'clock in the morning, but happy to be here. Happy to help out.
Yeah, we appreciate it as always, man. I think it's our first time doing a video show together. So we're on. We're here, the Mayo Media Network. If you guys are watching on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe and like. Get in there for that. We've got the Hewlett-Packard Enterprise Houston Open. If Kenny was here, he would call it just the Houston Open or the Shell Houston Open, maybe at that. So we'll talk a little bit about it. Ryan, I know you're going to give us a little bit of a course preview. I've only played here once at the Memorial Park Golf Course, so it's a little bit different than what we've seen the past 10-plus years. But last year, obviously, Carlos Ortiz getting the victory here. Before we get into it, though, definitely going to jump back into last week. I do want to talk a little bit of the Mayakoba with you. Before we get into that, I want to remind everyone very quickly, this podcast and show is brought to you and presented by DraftKings. Head on over to DraftKings.com, check out Sportsbook and Fantasy Offerings. We'll have a bit of a preview there for you later with a special offer. And then, of course, our tool site, FantasyNational.com/FGD. Get yourself 20% off your first payment. Anyways, let's hop into it here, Ryan. We got the Mayakoba and Mr. Mayakoba himself. I saw today Sobel posted it out. I think it was since 2019 since we've seen a title defense. Not easy to do. It's not easy to win on this tour in general. But Mr. Victor Hovland, who if you watched last week, anybody who was out there, I spoke so highly of the interview of Rick Gaiman, getting on with him, talking everything, analytics, everything that he went through, poker, you name it, things he watches on YouTube. And I just felt like the guy was dialed in, but I did not suspect this at all. And I mean, it made sense. He obviously just won here the year before. What were your thoughts on Victor Hovland taking it down again and just the event in general?
Yeah, it was great. I mean, I think very clear. Victor Hovland has been playing really well this summer, won in Europe, but hasn't won here in a while. Obviously loves the course, loves Paspalum, loves these shorter kind of resort courses where you can make a lot of birdies. I think one thing that's kind of interesting about Hovland is, you know, when we've seen him struggle, it's been when he makes big numbers, right? Obviously, he didn't do that here, didn't do that last year, but there were plenty of big numbers on this golf course. I saw Poulter made a quad late, Poston had a few triples. Yeah, it was great. He was able to stay out of trouble, made a ton of birdies, won by four, creeping his way into that top five in the world. And I think it's only a year or two before he'll be in the top three in the world.
Yeah, he's extremely good. How soon would you expect a major for Victor Hovland?
Yeah, you know, I think it depends on the specific courses. I don't quite see him with the short game where he can win the Masters yet or where he's going to win an Open Championship. But you get, you know, a PGA or even a U.S. Open on the right type of golf course. But I think he's probably still a couple years away.
Okay. Yeah, that's what I thought I'd ask. Obviously, Morikawa just doing crazy things with his career trajectory and everything that's going on there. But that class, Morikawa, Hovland, Wolf, we'll talk about him. He's right there in the mix, a little T5. This was a great event, though, for a swing season event. We knew it going into the Mayakoba, the field strength, everything that you looked at, but it certainly lived up to the hype. You got Hovland, JT, Scheffler, Neiman, Wolf, Answer, you know, some other guys that you could throw in there. But what were your thoughts on some of those guys' performances and just the rest of the tournament and how it played out in general?
Yeah, I thought it was great. Really fun to watch. Lots of good players there, like what you said. I think a lot of these guys, you know, they've come here many, many years. Obviously, they're at a great resort. They're treated really well, lots of great amenities and things like that. I was frustrated because, you know, at the top, I was very close to clicking Hovland last week. But when JT drifted to 16 and Hovland's at 18, it's a pretty easy choice there. And I went with JT and was close, but wasn't able to get it done. And unfortunately, most of my DraftKings teams also started with JT, and I did not have a lot of Victor Hovland.
Yeah, I liked JT quite a bit last week for one of the guys at the top. And the other thing too, just watching it, Bones on the bag, man, reading those putts for him. I know it didn't fully work out, but it looked a lot better at least. And a third place finish isn't too shabby for this event. A lot of guys coming in and grabbing the points elsewhere. Danny Lee, another top 10. I was calling him Long Dong Danny Lee, letting it hang out and get the job done. He's in the playoffs now. I don't know for sure. I'm just saying, but this is what these guys are doing. They're coming in here, collecting these FedEx Cup points that we seemingly make fun of all season, but it matters a lot to them, right? I know the, you know, the update on the FedEx Cup points when we're halfway through really means nothing, but to these guys, it means something. And along the way, it's certainly important to them. So any other thoughts on the Mayakoba in general?
No, it was great. Always an event that I look forward to. You know, it's one that has historically been pretty predictable with the type of player who was there. But yeah, I mean, last week the cream rose to the top, and I have a feeling we're going to see a very similar leaderboard this week when you look at the top of the board and all these guys who are here, and most of them are playing pretty well. So I think you're going to have a lot of the thoroughbreds at the top again this week.
Yeah, some of the other names real quick, and then we'll move on. I'll get you to talk about the course this week and just what you're expecting. But just some of the other names here that stand out, like Adam Long, Aaron Rye, Bezuidenhout, McCarthy, Wise, Gooch. Of course, we're going to talk about them. Seamus Power continues to do his thing since getting that win back at the Barbasol over JT Poston in the playoff. And these guys are all showing up and getting into the mix. And then they're all coming back again this week to try and do it again. So I would expect with the field we've got this week, it's still pretty strong, that we're going to see a lot of these same names. I think you're right. So talk to us a little bit about this week. We've got, you know, a course, like I said, we've only seen it once, Memorial Park Golf Course. I've read today, and I remember it from last year too, them talking about it, like it's one of the top played municipal courses out there, 51 weeks of the year, and then they've got it all primed up for this, an almost major style feel. Obviously, winner last year, Carlos Ortiz, 13 under. So it certainly wasn't the birdie fest that we've been seeing throughout the swing season. So just talk to me in general about the event, what you expect to see, some stats, sort of anything you have on your outlook for the week.
Yeah, I mean, long and tough. I think we saw that last year. And again, there's only 1 year of data, so I wouldn't dive too much into that. But in Texas, you know, it's all about the wind, right? If we're getting wind and we're going to have a score like a minus 12, minus 13, like we saw last year, I think that favors the best players in the field. When the going gets tough, those are the guys who are going to play best because it's going to test every aspect of your game. You know, when, yes, Ortiz won kind of out of nowhere last year, but if you look at that leaderboard, it was Matsuyama and it was DJ and it was Brooks and Gooch and all those guys who were playing well at the time. So I think that's one thing to look at. It's a par 70, but long, right? Only three par fives. There's a ton of yardage in the par fours. I think there are two or three par fours over 500 and a couple right under 500. There's a couple really long par threes. So I think you're going to look at that long iron play specifically. And I guess when I hear that, my mind goes back to Taylor Gooch again, who I won't play. But I think that's the kind of player that you need. And it seems driving accuracy wasn't important here. You got to bomb it. You got to be good with the irons. But these guys are going to miss greens as well. So I certainly want to find somebody who is a pretty good scrambler as well.
Yeah, he's just playing so well right now. And the board was loaded up last year. He actually finished fourth. You mentioned it. It was right behind Ortiz was Matsuyama and DJ in a tie. Then it was Gooch, Koepka, some other guys after that, just a, you know, a litany of names. But, you know, Straka, Burns, Hatton, Day, Lowry, Kizire, Wise, Hovland, you know, just a bunch of guys. Some, if not most, are here again this year. So I would expect to be a pretty good tournament. This is sort of the events I like. You know, this is, you know, 15 under or worse, right? I don't want to see always, you know, 25 under, 23 unders and just pushing it with all of that. I know sometimes we like to see certain styles of events, but we get enough of that over the swing season. So I certainly do like to see this kind of event. Anything on strategy that you're thinking out of the gates? I guess the one thing for me, we'll get into the tiers here shortly, but I just think out loud what we just talked about is we don't have a birdie fest. It is a little bit shorter field, so you could say the odds of them making the cut increase, but at the same time, if we're not getting that birdie fest and we're not having that situation, sometimes, you know, the guys at the top, you got to find those guys at the bottom. And I don't know what your feel is just on a grand scheme of things for the whole slate this week, but are you thinking stars and scrubs? Are you thinking a more balanced build? Do you have some strategy tips there?
Yeah, you know, I'm going to look at ownership a lot. I think this is a great week to kind of go against the grain in terms of where the chalk falls. There's probably going to be some wind. There's going to be a lot of carnage this week like there always is in Texas. Always watch the wind because we've seen some pretty massive wave splits when it comes to wind in Texas. And I think if you're going to build 150 teams, you have to build some wave stacks one way or another. I'll certainly keep an eye on that. But yeah, I'm probably leaning more towards stars and scrubs this week. One, I think there's some really good options down below, specifically kind of low sevens. And as I said, I think a lot of these players at the top are going to be at the top. So I want to get as many of them in my lineup as possible.
Yeah, and we'll go through more when we get into the tiers. I think, I want to run some guys by you down in that 6K range even, because like you said, if you can make it work, that's what we want. We're going to love the guys' names at the top. I definitely think there's some merit to building some of those balanced builds. I feel like, you know, it's one of those situations where sometimes when people play all of these birdie fests and just have an event where all these guys that can get there from just scoring and streaks and the DraftKings points set up, and then they're like in that same mindset coming into the next event, not realizing that, hey, this is a completely different type of event and it's not necessarily going to be that way. So trying to fit as many of those names as you can sometimes lead to problems when you start just plugging in randoms down at the bottom. I'll run some of those by you later. I also think it's going to be interesting to see sort of what people do with the guys at the top. I think you mentioned a little bit on it, but a lot of stuff this week is going to be narrative based. We don't have very much to talk about off of 1 year history. I just rattled off the leaderboard. I did want to talk to you a little bit about this though, because the thought that came to mind, if you guys don't follow Tom Jacobs, great follow on Twitter, does a podcast, usually fully Euro focused for the week over with Skyler, Sky DFS and Skyhook DFS, who always posts the ownerships out there. Another great guy. And those guys do their podcast on the Mayo Media Network and show. But I do think this week he was talking a lot in his Odds Checker article about some of the correlations. So I want to kind of rapid fire them by you right quick. Again, guys, go check out the article. Tom Jacobs, great dude. Loves the Karate Kid like me. So I always give this guy props. I like him quite a bit. I'll tell you this. So Ryan, here's some of his stuff he's got. So just say yay or nay with a couple of thoughts. Augusta as a comparison, because Hideki and DJ back, you know, the Green Jacket winners most recent, they were right there in the mix behind Carlos Ortiz. Brooks was up there. Some other names, Jason Day, T7. Any thoughts on how this could compare to Augusta?
No, I'm guessing that correlation just happened because they were the best players in the field that week.
Yeah, I guess I would feel the same way on that one, just rattling them off, just thinking about it out loud. The strength is a lot of names that we know, especially everybody watching this show during the swing season, with, you know, hence the name Fantasy Golf Degenerates. We're still playing. We're still liking these contests, getting after it. But not everybody knows who Taylor Gooch was a year ago or who Sam Burns was. These guys were always good names in the golf community and across who we know, big up-and-comers. And now they've gone on. Burns getting wins. Gooch contending every single week. It's like four straight top 11s or better with a couple top fives. But it's just little things like that that people don't always notice. This one, I think there's more merit to personally. I know, again, we're going off such a small sample size, but I kind of like this one was Riviera. Genesis, obviously being played there, but some of the same names winning, some of the same names having correlations with Texas courses that are going there as well. What are your thoughts on that course?
No.
Still no.
give me more. I mean, I think there'll certainly be some names that kind of overlap with them, but with Riviera, I definitely lean Bombers a little bit more. Obviously, Poa Greens, not as windy. So no, not for me.
Okay. And any other courses that you could think of that you would relate it to? Again, it goes into the narrative that we're saying we're going to wait and see ownership, possibly get off of that because of some of these narratives and just try and play the good plays. But sometimes that'll bring ownership in its own way. But what would you think of when you think about this course to line it up with other courses or just other feelings in general? I guess the biggest, most obvious is Texas. Guys that play well in Texas typically play well in Texas. That's just the way it always has been. They play better in wind if they grew up there, have ties, different factors for sure. But is there any course correlations that you could see that would lean heavily into this one?
So I think the Texas course is for sure. Even though we're at a different course, you know, guys who have played well at the Houston Open, I mean, you're right down the street. The weather conditions are pretty similar. Like, I think you can still look at that. Although most of the Houston Opens were at a different time of year. Any par 70, I think makes a lot of sense. But the one, and my card will kind of give this away, is PGA National, the Honda Classic. I think if you're looking for a tough par 70 on Bermuda in the wind, like, yes, it's Florida versus Texas. But I think there's a lot of course characteristics that are pretty similar there. And the four guys that I bet all have very good records at the Honda Classic.
I got some guys from there as well. And you and I have been there at the same time together at the DFS Open before. Yeah. Pretty nice course. Pretty good call, I think, actually, with the Bermuda. I guess what I was going to say is if you don't like any of these course correlations, and if you couldn't have given me that one, I was just going to go with the better narrative, one that we always like to use on here, and follow the ho train. We've got the Houston Open. The acronym is HO. We've got Hoagie. We've got who else? Homa. We've got a lot of HOs. Hoffman. We've got a bunch of guys in this field. Lee Hodges. You can get after all the hoes and get, you know, get some hoe lineups going there. But if you don't have any other good narratives, always look for those ones. But let's move on. One more thing. I know you mentioned a few of them, but in tying into that, just stats in general, maybe three or four main stats that stand out to you for this event. Then we'll get into the offer and then we'll get into the DFS tiers.
Yeah, I mean, I'm certainly going to weigh stroke gain approach more than I normally do. And I'm actually going to dive deeper and kind of look at the proximity yardages. You know, I'll go through Fantasy National and I'll wait until PGA Splits post all of his stuff, which is great. Yeah. I'm sure later this week he'll put out all the different proximity buckets and things like that. And I think that'll really help me narrow things down. I think the other thing too is like, I want guys who have played. There's a lot of guys in this field who we haven't really seen too much of. I'd rather have guys who've played multiple times throughout the fall, even kind of last week at Mayakoba.
Yeah. And that'll be kind of interesting to see. Again, we won't have ownership tonight to go off of, but you'll probably be able to get a good sense of it as we're going through some of these tiers. And it's like, you know, some of the guys that will pop, we haven't seen them very much lately, but that, could that lead to lower ownership on them in turn, almost making them good plays in the sense that we know they're good. If they bring their A game, we don't know who's going to bring their A game. Even if someone brought their A game last week, we just suspect that, but sometimes that can make for some of the good plays, especially in the upper tiers where it's just easy to make a quick pivot where they're all very good, but people get so convinced that it's got to be this guy's week. He's going to win. And it doesn't always go that way. So before we get into it, want to let everybody know really quickly about a very special offer we have from DraftKings Sportsbook.
Football fans, who's ready to score some free bets? Now you can when you bet on any NFL game this week with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers who bet just $1 on either team to score can win $100 in free bets. When a team scores, you score. If Sportsbook isn't available in your state yet, DraftKings won't leave you empty-handed. Everyone can play for huge cash prizes all season long with DraftKings Daily Fantasy Sports Contests. DraftKings is giving all new customers a free shot at millions of dollars in total prizes with their first deposit. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now, use promo code FGD, bet just $1 on either team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FGD this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older, NJIN or PA only, new customers only, minimum $5 deposit and $1 wager required, one per customer, restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, Ryan, let's get into it here. We've got quite a few guys, 10K and above, and it's kind of what we were just talking about, where some of these names are definitely great names on paper, but we haven't seen very much of them lately. So we'll start with Tyrrell Hatton, right, all the way up to Sam Burns at the top. Who are a couple guys you like up here? Talk about whatever you want to up in this range.
Yeah, so I think there's actually a lot. I'm very curious to see what the ownership is on Burns. I do think he's the favorite for a reason, and he should be. I have a feeling guys are going to play Scottie Scheffler after what he did last week. He played okay here last year. I think he shot 65 on Sunday. Maybe people will see that. Of course, the Texas narrative. I can tell you who I'm not going to play, and that's Hatton and Cameron Smith. Ty Hatton, just he hasn't been 100% of late. Cam Smith, he falls in the category of we really haven't seen him play a lot of golf recently. He does have the Aussies and Texas narrative, but not going to play them. I mentioned the Honda Classic, so I'm looking at Sungjae Im, who I think is going to go a little bit overlooked this week in terms of what people are looking for, but I'm going to commit pretty hard into that Honda Classic narrative. So he's probably my favorite above 10K.
Yeah, I think that's an interesting play that definitely will go overlooked. I think, you know, what you talked about from what we saw last week, Scheffler, Wolf, there's already been some conversation around Cam Smith. Funny you mentioned him. I don't think people are going to be as interested in Hatton, Finau, Sungjae. And then I'm not saying they won't be in on Burns, because they most certainly will be, just because how good he's been. But I don't think people will really commit to it. So I don't think he's going to come in like way over owned or anything crazy like that. It's also going to be a little bit more challenging. We talked about it earlier, to find ways to round it out. If you go Burns, I think you're better off to almost just skip down and try and get a little more balanced after that. So not quite a Stars and Scrubs, but a real star, the tournament favorite, and then dropping down into some guys in the 7K range and see what you can do with that build. I didn't talk about it earlier with my stats that I was looking at, but one of the things for sure, a little bit larger greens, faster greens, potential for that. Obviously, Burns great at putting on Bermuda. We always like Bermuda Burns. He was always putting better actually on pretty much every surface. That was just sort of the narrative with his name. I think that holds true with one of the long shots I bet this week a little more in Keith Mitchell. We'll talk about him later on. But for the thing for Burns, if you go look, I just pulled it up in Fantasy National, last 50 rounds, you go to three putt avoidance, you go to the strokes gained around the green, he's just topping everybody up in this range. So he's already got on, that's on top of the ball striking, the approach, the bogey avoidance in general, just all of those stats that he just dominates in. And then he's got the other sort of peripheral stats that I like that he's crushing in as well. So I'm big on Burns up at the top. Think he makes a ton of sense. And then after that, it's pretty tough for me, man. I was talking to you before the show. I don't know, like, I'm probably going to be more of like a Burns and drop way down, like I just talked about. Or when we get into this 9K range here in a moment, I'm going to be willing to just play three or maybe even four 9K guys if I can get there in some lineups and load up down there. Because you mentioned it, right? You got Smith, Hatton, could make even Finau that I'm just not in love with any of them. I might be able to get behind the M1 based on the Honda Classic narrative. I think that makes some more sense because it's a narrative that's unlikely to go with any ownership. So that's the best kind of narrative for those watching out there that love narratives like myself. The only thing better than a good narrative is a narrative that comes without ownership. And that's what I think we'll get with Sungjae Im. So I do like that call as well. Any other thoughts on these guys at the top? And then if not, you can just take us right into this 9K range.
No, I think Matthew Wolf will be a little bit overowned, and obviously, he had a price hike after last week. Been playing great. I could see him doing well here, but I'm not running to play a high-owned, high-priced Matthew Wolf either.
Yeah, I can get behind that for sure. I just think, again, it's something that we talked a little bit pre-show, but just these guys we're seeing, Gooch, Wise, Wolf back in the mix of things, Hovland getting the win, all this stuff, all the guys we almost expect to see. But then you got to remember when we're playing daily fantasy, there is a salary price game that we're playing, of course. And so some of this stuff matters when you see some of these price hikes that just automatically happen. People struggle to find a way to build. And so they just go back to the same guys, even with some of these price hikes and some better options below. Talk to me about this 9K range. It's pretty loaded. I think the, I don't know if you want to call it the elephant in the room, really, but Brooks Koepka is certainly getting talked up this week. We know he's the course design consultant. He finished T5 here last year. 30-1 is a steal, which, yes, I did bet that as well. I have to agree with at least that part. We'll talk more on it later, but it has been the year of the too good to be true number actually coming through for once, regardless of how much of the community is on the bet. But talk to me about this 9K range and what you like in here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm kind of surprised everybody's running to bet Brooks. I mean, I know the narrative got out about him having a hand in redesigning the course and all of that. Obviously played well here last year, but was pretty mediocre to bad last week. He obviously was close to making the cut, made that late triple. I think, at this point, it's either I'm going to bet Brooks and not play him on DK, or just make sure I have very, very unique builds with him. I do think he's a little bit underpriced. I don't think there's any reason why he should be less than Matthew Wolf or less than Cameron Smith or anything like that. I think the key to the 9K range, like we talked about before we started, is Gooch, Wise, Ortiz. I think there's a lot of ownership that's going to come with those three. They're all priced, right next to each other. I think it'll be spread out a little bit, but at least one of them is going to miss the cut this week, but also one of them might be top five. So you got to be very careful there.
Yeah, kind of like that. You said it like that. I love that you already know, but it's pretty much predictable, right? Well, one of these guys is going to miss the cut this week. You can set that up. We talked about it plenty in the past on other shows that I do, shows that run Pure Sports, things like that, where you're talking about groups in an optimizer. So if you guys are going MME for the week and you want to set up a rule with Gooch, Wise, and Ortiz and put it like an at most two, you're not saying you need to play two in every lineup. That's not what that's saying. You're saying at most two of those so that you don't end up with all three of those in a balanced 9K build, have one of them miss, and then all of your lineups are five out of six or worse. So I don't hate that call. I'm kind of with what you said on the Brooks thing, though, and I do this quite a bit. When I woke up this morning and saw 30-1, I just thought, it's one of those numbers. I did it at the Waste Management Phoenix Open, which was one we didn't talk about earlier that was also kind of set up well to hear if you think about some of the factors. But just get off that page for a second. That number, I believe, was 40-1 when we all hit Brooks. And again, this is not quite 40-1, But the field strength is kind of similar. There's enough big names. But then after that, it's, again, more names that we know. But most people would say, who? Like, to have these guys down below that we just know inside and out. It's a different game there. We live in a bubble. But I think for, you know, this range, I could easily go without without playing Brooks. And the guy I actually like, Baroff, and I'll get your thoughts, is right below him, is Adam Scott. He's 9,600. It's probably a fair price, maybe even overpriced a little bit, but I think it'll come with less ownership than all the guys in this range. And if you look across the board, top 10 in quite a few stats, including certain proximity ranges, three putt avoidance, overall ball striking, birdies are better, DK scoring, things like that. But we talked about this a little bit, Kenny and I, on a previous show. I forget where it was now, when he should have won with like a 5-foot putt at the end, and then he lost in the 7-man playoff or whatever. Was it the Wyndham?
Yep, Wyndham.
Yeah, Wyndham. And the thing about that was the field strength. This is a little stronger in general, but I don't think it's as strong as the Wyndham personally. And I don't think, when you look at just across the board of the types of tournaments that Adam Scott plays in, I want to play him in the weaker field or strength of field events, because people don't notice that about him. Oh, he never does anything better than a 40. True, but he also plays in the literal best tournaments in the world that have 10 of the top 10 in the world, and beyond that, probably 40 of the top 50, if not more. That makes it tougher to win, right? It's no different in DFS. You go up into the $200 single entry, it's less likely that you're going to do well than if you're allowed to play in the $1 or something. If you had the same field size, you just have some better odds in those cases. So I like Adam Scott. I like Gooch. I like Wise. I'm not as high on Ortiz. I know how well he played last week, but if I was leaving one of those three out, it wouldn't just be because he won last year. I just think Gooch is really pressing, man. I know he could be the guy that lets you down, but the price is seemingly fair for how good he's been playing and all of the other factors. The guy is just really good at golf. And I remember back to the Honda Classic, it was a conversation around Harold Varner talking about a guy that he really liked on tour and thought had a ton of upside, just looking at all the guys he plays with, and it was Taylor Gooch. And it's shown. Look at the numbers lately. Wise has just been on a little bit of a different level lately. Putting can always worry me a little bit, especially with the lag putting and the three putt avoidance factor. But other than that, been playing some pretty good golf. Remember, guys that play well in Texas, don't forget the Byron Nelson, Trinity Forest. He got the W and then got the miss on the kiss on the green. He couldn't get it in with his girl. Then never know, the redemption could happen here. But I kind of like Scott, Gooch, and Wise. Anything else you got in this range?
Yeah, you know, I think we're actually pretty aligned, which is surprising. I also bet Adam Scott. My reasoning is, has he won the Honda Classic? Answer, yes, bet Adam Scott.
yes.
In terms of Gooch, Wise, Ortiz, I'm going to have Wise number one in that group, but definitely have Ortiz number three. So I can tell you with full confidence, I will have no Ortiz this week. We'll probably have a little bit of Wise, might have a little bit of Gooch, but my absolute favorite GPP play here is going to be Neiman. I think he's very close to winning, and he's at a price now where I don't think anyone's going to play him. He was sneaky good last week. I think he finished fifth, or he was close T5. To fifth last week.
Yep, T5.
Played really well all four rounds in the 60s. Just very solid all week. And yeah, I think he's got the type of game, you know, plays well on the win, he hits that low ball, hits the draw. The only concern with him, of course, is putting. And is he the guy who is potentially going to make 20 plus birdies if the wind is down? So love Neiman, love Scott. And then we'll probably play some Brooks if it works out.
Yeah, Neiman just makes me think for a second, because when I started the show, my thoughts on Neiman were that, you know, there's a guy down at 8K, Max Homa, who basically does the sort of the same thing. He's not as consistent with making cuts and coming top 40, but when he does make cuts, he usually comes top five or wins. And that's kind of what we've seen with Neiman, but he doesn't miss cuts. He just makes every single cut, does well. He's got a couple seconds over the last year. He just got that T5. I remember, because I bet him last week with the each way and had some trouble getting the payout, and then it came in late. So I was happy about that. But yeah, you know, little thought process there that you just had, if you think back to it again, we're not at the same birdie fest or anything. And he actually just showed up last week with a pretty decent score. What was the event? You go back, he had 72 bogey free holes and then made bogey on the 73rd to lose in the playoff. Was that when Burns won? I forget which event that was.
I'm pretty sure that's when Burns won. Yeah.
Yeah. Unfortunate for Neiman, but just goes to show when you think about it. And then you go across and he's 16th in my model out of everybody in the field in the three putt avoidance. So that'll matter as well at a tournament like this.
He just doesn't make... that was Rocket Mortgage. That's when Cam Davis won.
Ah, it's Cam Davis. And yes.
I think I saw somebody make that correlation today. I don't know. Maybe it was Tom Jacobs.
It was Tom. That was another one. I missed Waste Management Golf Phoenix Club. Open and yeah. I missed the 3M Open.
Yeah. I don't know what the correlation, I didn't read it. I just saw the tweet come in. I don't know what the correlation is, but again, just another reason to play Neiman, I guess.
Yeah, I do like Neiman now that you bring that up. So for me, Scott, Neiman, Gooch, and Wise, and I'll wait and see. I feel like Gooch is going to get extremely popular, so it's just going to be a spot where I won't be all in. I won't be as heavy. I'm going to make sure I spread it out. I might be the field weight or just under on Gooch to be able to get a bunch more of Scott and Neiman where I'm over the field. And I'm with you on Wise, man. I think, like I said, I like that call there. I'll be off Ortiz in this range. Also, don't know if you want to talk too much about it, but Patrick Reed, a guy I thought about when I woke up this morning. The number looks good, 40-1. Then I saw him playing a PXG driver. And yeah, he just rated out extremely poor in my model. Yeah. But the one caveat, the three putt avoidance, if you need a stroke gain to ground the green, around the green, usually the guy that can help you out there. What are your thoughts on Neiman at 9K?
I bet Reed last week, kind of regretted it, but he almost won Bermuda. He putted lights out. And normally he's the type of guy who can maintain that putting when a lot of guys, it's not sustainable, but yeah, he was pretty mediocre last week. Obviously he is tweaking some equipment right now. And, I think there's enough plays above and below him that I just don't have a lot of interest in Patrick Reed here.
Okay. Yeah. Fair enough. Let's do that. Let's go below him and talk about this 8K range. I think you'll get some popularity here at the top. Henley, Kokrak. I'm hearing a little bit of conversation around both of those guys today. I like one more than the other. I'll get to in a minute. And then it just trickles down. You got Leishman, Bezuidenhout, Mav McNealy, all the way down to the guy I mentioned earlier, Max Homa. What are you doing here in this 8K range this week?
Yeah, it's pretty interesting. I don't know. If the ownership dies down on Henley after last week, I could certainly see myself going there. Obviously, he loves Houston, not this course, but loves Houston. But he did play okay here last year. I think he finished 29th. He's obviously been playing great, especially iron play. Has the Honda Classic correlation as well. So if the ownership is 20% like it was last week, absolutely not. But if people do hop off, I could go back there. I think Mark Leishman is very interesting. He's got the Aussies in Texas. He lives here, has been playing really well, although a lot of that has been riding a hot putter. So I don't know how sustainable that is, but, I feel like $8,700 Mark Leishman is going to be like 5 or 6% owned. I think beyond that, the only other guys that I think I would play, and again, it's going to be very ownership driven. I still kind of like Maverick McNealy. I think he's still trending for that win. And then Cameron Tringale, who obviously I tweet about often. I hate him. He's infuriating as chalk, but he's not going to be chalk this week. 8,300 coming off a miscut. If you can get him at 8% owned for 8,300, I think it's a pretty good course fit for him too.
Ryan Baroff going to be one of the Cameron Tringale people this week. Good. Jeez, I thought those were the worst. What's the ratings for this week for the people, the three people? Who are they?
It's a good question. Well, I think one is going to be the Wolf people, obviously. Two is probably going to be the Ortiz people.
Yeah.
And let's see down here. Who else is going to be chalk? I guess we'll get to it. I mean, maybe people go back to... No, I'll tell you who. It's the Charlie Hoffman people. People are going to blindly Charlie play Hoffman him. People? Yeah, people are going to blindly play him in Texas. So, yeah.
It not fits the hoe narrative, though. The hoe at the hoe. Hoff at the hoe.
He's going to finish like 56th, and yeah, it's fine. Yeah. No interest.
He'll get me a made cut. They'll say, yeah. I don't know. I like the Henley call. I don't know if he'll get up there at 8,900. Man, it's tough to say. I like Leishman for cheap, like you mentioned. I always like, I'm a sucker for Seamus Power. I'm happy with how he's played at all types of courses. Usually it's all a bomber, off the tee, everything. Well, he can do a little bit of that here, but he's had the rest of the game to go with it. His approach game has been fair. Makes birdies, can avoid number two in the last 50 rounds in my model for avoiding bogeys. And then you go over to around the green, number three, 35th in three putt avoidance. He just got the complete game. And I think he's underrated overall. Just people don't know enough about him. Obviously coming over and getting that win helped, but even that was a grind. The bunker shot that he had to make at the Barbasol to beat JT Poston and just get that. Like, he just never gives up. And that's why I like his style. So I think power, and I'm with you on Tringali, but I'm one of the Tringali people. So I'm always playing him. Yeah. So normally I'm the crowd you're against, but I'm definitely in on him this week. And I didn't recall if you mentioned him, but I kind of like Lowry. He's almost like my Leishman. I said this to you pre-show before you get on. Any week where you like Leishman is usually a good one and people should listen up. I don't think you've ever got him wrong. And you like him when he's cheap and it's just he's priced fair for who he is and what he can do. I feel like that about Lowry, though. That's how I always am. I do worry a little bit about the putter, but he's got a really good around the green game, which can definitely come in handy here. He can get on his A game and that can really help. So at 8,200, and then we already talked about Max Homa. But he doesn't really pop in my model. Stats look bad. The reason I play him, and I'm always very cautious with it, but I tell people, is because, like I said earlier, he doesn't just do the Neiman, make the cut. And I know it sounds bad coming off a T5 for Neiman, but normally Neiman, we talked about last week, Kenny and I, where he just gets you top 40th, right? That's what he was doing. He had a couple seconds, but and we made fun of him for eating hot dogs with Sergio Garcia, not warming up and all those factors, not winning. But usually it's like he makes the cut and that's it. Homa, when he makes the cut, he either goes all the way and comes top five or wins, or he just doesn't make the cut. And those lineups were already dead anyway, but I'm happy to be on side with them and have some of them in my builds. Anybody else or any other thoughts on this 8K range?
No, not too much. I think Lowry is interesting. I'm kind of surprised he's here because I think he's playing in Dubai next week, I would assume. And he's been playing quite a bit in Europe. I played Mexico last week, missed the cut. He's here again. So I think that's an interesting one for sure.
Yeah. And you mentioned earlier too, I think it's just a little bit of trying to get here, gain some of these early points if you can. I know it sucks from a travel perspective, but most of these guys, we've had these conversations as well, plenty in the past where it's not as big of a deal as you think. Hovland was just on that interview talking about it. Yeah. He took a week off. Only reason he didn't go to Japan was because he already had it lined up for last week, then Dubai, then going to Norway on a vacation, all like back home to his hometown, all this stuff. It's like he can't travel everywhere, but they can do enough travel to not worry about it. And if Lowry gets into the mix here this weekend, he's not going to be thinking about Dubai. He's going to be focused on getting the job done here, taking one down early, and then it's nice extra coin to get over to Dubai and do some damage over there, hopefully, too. So I think he makes a lot of sense to round it out. Going into the 7K range, we normally do upper 7K, but I don't know. It's not that heavy this week. Maybe talk 7,400 and up. Mm-hmm. The aforementioned Cameron Davis all the way up to the Canadian Jordan Spieth, Mackenzie Hughes at 7,900.
Yeah, this is an interesting range of guys who burned us last week, right? Specifically, Mito, Varner, Woodland, I think, were probably the top three that I had last week. Ton of exposure to and all missed the cut. So that was frustrating, but I always like going back there. So, and the other one that's missing here is Russell Knox, who's at 6,900. We'll get there later. But if you're a person who likes to go back to the guys who burned you a week ago, I think that's what this range is all about. One of my absolute favorite GPP plays this week on the board is Brendan Grace. I think he makes a lot of sense if the course is going to be tough, windy, firm. He's kind of at a price point that's a little bit higher than we've seen him. Sneakily been playing well. I mean, it's been very up and down, but again, was part of that playoff at the Wyndham, played well at the US Open, played well throughout the summer, had a top 10 in Europe, finished eighth at the Zozo. So he's been a little bit inconsistent, but he does have a lot of finishes. And I think, you know, if it's windy, if it's tough, a 7,600 Brendan Grace at 3% owned is nice.
Oh man. Do you think he'll stay 3%? Because you're not stealing my thunder, but this is certainly a guy I like quite a bit. Funny enough, he kind of goes with that one time. He goes with that waste management narrative where he tried to steal. Well, Ricky tried to give it to him. Remember the ball falling down the hill when he dropped it. And then Brendan Grace puts it in the water on 17, but he fits that. But if you think about it, everything you talked about there, he's been playing really well. Three putt avoidance should be no surprise, but number one in the entire field. The guy does not really make mistakes. He just grinds out the pars, collects the birdies where available. And if you look at the other stats, they're all pretty solid across the board. He's not where, you know, he's not top 10 in any category, but that's why he's 7,600. He's top 30 though, in these categories that we're looking at this week. And he fits that mold. So I like Brendan Grace quite a bit. I'm with you on some of the other names you mentioned, but now I got to think back and get your thoughts on the joke of the Canadian Jordan Spieth and Mackenzie Hughes, because we were right there. Kenny tells the story all the time. Mackenzie's mom was right there. We were watching the shot. It was Fleetwood in the fairway. Im was coming in behind, and Mackenzie was there off in the cart path making his shot up onto the green on 18. at the Honda Classic that year. So what do you think about Mackenzie Hughes here at 7,900?
Yes, it's frustrating because he's not a guy that I play very often, but I think you have to. I mean, his form, he hasn't missed a cut in 6 months, it feels like. Played well here last year and played well at the Honda Classic. So I'm going to keep going back there. I think, fifth at the Zozo last that we saw him. And yeah, he hasn't missed a cut since the Memorial, which was in June. So.
Maybe I'm delusional and thinking we're getting away with, you know, a crime here, but we're just it feels like all the guys that we kind of like mm-hmm. and are talking about have narratives that go with them. But it's like I talked about earlier, it's narratives that don't seem or usually don't have ownership associated or attached to them. Mackenzie Hughes, Brandon Grace, you mentioned Sungjae Im, guys like this, Adam Scott, Neiman at that price. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. I don't think we'll get away with all of them, Baroff. But
well, you already stole the 150-1 long shot. So let's just transition right there into Keith Mitchell, Honda Classic winner. Was my first bet this morning at 150-1 as well. And sounds like you're on him too.
Yes, definitely on him. I just thought, like you said, for the number, Bermuda in general, always going to like that. The Honda Classic factor that you just brought up just adds to it as well for me. So I can get behind him, no problem. I think at that price, he's going to be in a lot of my lineups at 7,000. Some of the other guys here, I want to get your thoughts on, just rattle off a few names. You mentioned Varner. So I guess here's a couple. So Varner, Streelman, Cam Davis, who we talked about, and Emiliano Grillo, those four. What are your thoughts on some of them? Any standout?
I won't play Streelman.
Okay.
I would probably play Cam Davis. He was like 20 over par here last year. Made the cut. But he was like 20 over par here. And he just hasn't been great. I think Grillo makes a lot of sense. He's just, again, he's like Tringale. He's one of those people that I don't play. And like, what's the upside with Grillo? Even those weeks where he's like, quote unquote, in contention or opens with 67, he's finishing like 45th. So yeah, I'm just gonna say no to all of them.
If that's Varner, cool. I know you said no to all of them, but I just want to get your take. Because the thing about Varner is he pops a little bit for me on all the stats.
Yeah, like if the ownership's down, I think he was like 12% last week or something, but he missed the cut. If the ownership's down again at 8%, 7%, maybe. I always do like going back there, but I think down in the low sevens, there are guys who I like more.
Okay, and last one up top, Mito Pereira.
I think you have to. I mean, we were playing him for 9K, right?
Yeah.
Or more. I mean, what's one miss? He sucked, but what's one miscut, right?
I'm rattling all the bets off now, I think, across the show. So you mentioned the 150 on Keith Mitchell. Normally, I have a whole betting segment at the end. I'll recap for everyone. But Mito, I looked. It was like Neiman 30 or 33. I can't remember now. And it was Mito for 70. And I'm not saying the same or, you know, they're both Chilean sensations, as we always say on here. But I just, the number, they've been wavering around. Like last week, I think they're about 60. And now Neiman comes top five in this, and it's like all of a sudden he's 33 and Mito goes to 70. It just makes no sense to me. I'm going to continue to bet that. So I'm with you there. And then I want to get this guy, you know, a few minutes here, because you mentioned the Charlie Hoffman people, Charlie Hoffman in Texas, all those factors. But right above him, or same price, I guess. Sorry, right above him on my board. But Ian Poulter. Different venue, of course. I always have a special place in my heart for Ian Poulter. That playoff win over Bo Hostler was my biggest PGA DFS week ever. And man, that's just a guy that, regardless, not someone I could bet. I don't think he's going to go on and win this thing, but at 7,300, I think he can make a cut, and I think he can get you more upside than a guy like Hoffman. Like you said, if Hoffman's coming 50th, I think Poulter can come top 30, top 20, and at 7,300, if that's rounding out your lineup as the last man in, I got no problem with that. Well, what are your thoughts on Ian Poulter?
Yeah, I like Poulter quite a bit. I don't think it's a perfect course for him. I mean, he's obviously won in Houston. The other course seems to fit him really well. But he's been very consistent all year, right? And he's been doing it with pretty good iron play and a really good short game, which, again, for some is not sustainable. But that's kind of what Ian Poulter does. And when it's windy and when the course gets tough, again, look at the Honda Classic. He's played really, really well there. I think he makes a lot of sense. So if there's anybody who likes to bet top 20s or even those top 40s, I think Poulter's a great play this week.
Yeah, that's where I like him. Like I said, if you get a top 40 market or something, that's a really good spot. But just that's, for me, it's more that's where I'm playing so much in DFS as far as multi-entry that I could just do it there, put enough money behind him that hopefully it pays off in a big way. And I would take that for sure. I always love the Houston Open. Lastly, just to round out this range, going to rattle off some more names. A couple of Taylors, Taylor Moore, Taylor Pendrith. You know more about these guys than most anyway. So Taylor Pendrith, Taylor Moore, and then Chad Ramey. Any thoughts on those three sort of Korn Ferry Tour specialist, up-and-comer type guys that most people don't know a lot about, but we certainly have seen their names across the swing season?
Yeah, I mean, I think pedigree-wise, obviously, everybody seems to know Taylor Pendrith, seems to be probably the best or the second best from this crew. I mean, Mito is probably a clear number one, but I think Pendrith has been really, really good. Ramey's interesting. You know, Ramey, he was a prolific cut maker, right? He did get a win, but just seems to make a lot of cuts. I don't know if that's exactly what I'm looking for this week. I probably want a little bit more upside. Don't know a lot about Taylor Moore, but obviously has played well in the couple of starts that he had in the fall. I don't think he was vaccinated, which is why he didn't go to Bermuda. But I think any of these guys are going to be very low owned in GPP. However, they are sandwiched around my other bet and one of my other favorites this week. It's Ryan Palmer. I think it's someone who everybody has kind of stopped playing, right? Palmer was pretty popular early in the year. Like when you talk about the Texas swing and West Coast swing and things like that, like there are weeks where he was 10, 15, 18, 20% owned. And now he's like 1 or 2%. We're back in Texas where Ryan Palmer has obviously played very, very well. You look at a tough course, windy course, you know, he was fourth at the Scottish Open this summer, almost won. Played okay last week, had a really bad Saturday, but his other three rounds were 68, 69, 64. And again, you know, you're looking at a guy who plays well in the wind and plays well in Texas and is going to be extremely low owned. Also plays well at PGA National. So sign me up for some Ryan Palmer at 101.
Do you think John Rahm would play well here if he was here?
I think John Rahm would play well everywhere. So.
John Rahmer, when they play together as partners, they always go together. They're correlated, man. But I obviously John Rahm would play well anywhere in the world. Chez Reavie or Chad Ramey? You can only pick one.
Ramey. Okay. So I just play the guy who's been playing better. You know, I'm not.
That's how bad Chez Reavie is. Wow. Okay. I'm with you. Let's move on to the 6K range. You mentioned earlier, I'm interested to hear your take on this. I liked him a lot last week. And I'm talking about Russell Knox, but you've already mentioned him and dropped all the way down here now to 6,900. Nice little number, but I think he's a good play here this week. What's your take on Russell Knox and then some other guys you like in the 6K range?
Yeah. I mean, got to play him. He missed the cut, but he didn't birdie four of his last five. So I think it was just a bad Friday for him, but he did finish strong. And he was 15th here last year. So obviously, you know, he can play this golf course. We don't have a lot of data on it, but I'm not going to quit a guy who shot 69-70, especially when you're getting this nice price discount on him. So, yeah, definitely going back to Russell Knox this week.
He doesn't usually make a lot of bogeys either, which is what we're looking for, and then just hope that he can capitalize in the spots that are given to him and be able to have a pretty good week that way. But at 6,900, doesn't have to do very much. Are there many – this is where I struggle a little bit, okay, because we talked strategy – a little bit earlier and, you know, stars and scrubs and, you know, people get on me all the time. Like, are you playing everybody in the 7K range? Not everyone, but I like to play a lot of guys in the 7K range and just skip a bunch of guys at the top, and it can burn you or bite you, whatever you want to say. But I really do think this is a week where a lot of these names are names people like. Wyndham Clark, we talk about Doc Redman, Grayson Sig has been popular through the swing season. Pat Perez, people make a storyline for Adam Long. I'm just naming a bunch down here that people, and then of course, all the ones people like Rye, the next up and comers, Rye, Thigala, a bunch of, you know, Steven Yeager, a bunch of guys like this. And then next thing you know, you've got a bunch of 4-6 and 5-6 lineups. And I just feel like, you know, Knox, you got a couple that you can play and go up from there. Who else though, do you like in the 6K range, or what do you see down here that you can utilize?
Yeah. So there's not too many. I will say that. Let me pull it up. Yeah. Knox is definitely one of the ones I'm going to play. One that I'm actually excited to play, there's not many. I'm going to play Sepp Straka for 6,700. Played well here last year. He's made a couple cuts in a row. I like that one a lot. There are people who were playing Stenson last week. If you played Stenson last week, you absolutely play Stenson here. He's now even cheaper. I think this is a better course fit where it doesn't really matter where you drive it. You're going to need really good long iron play. And I think, you know, he's obviously struggled most of the year, but he found some form in Europe starting in late July. And it was, again, all with the iron play. So, I mean, he's 6,700. Like, he can't hurt you too much for 6,700. As I scroll down, there's not a lot. But again, if I'm going to look at somebody who bombs it, who makes birdies and has played well at the Honda Classic, here's a name that I don't think anyone's going to land on is Brandon Hagee. And he's been okay, right? He's made a handful of cuts in a row, almost won the Barracuda this summer, played well at the Rocket Mortgage. He was, I think he was top five at the Honda, either this year or last year. But I like Brandon Hagee a lot this week.
Yeah, Brandon Hagee is interesting because he's a guy that just has so much upside. And he's been playing okay, but you know, it feels like watching back the Korn Ferry Tour events, you'd see him in. It was like every weekend you'd flip over to that on Sunday, and he's in the mix coming down the stretch. So, you know, I definitely like an option like him. Honestly, man, I didn't even know if Stenson was in the field this week or last. So that tells you what I can tell you about Stenson. I had no idea the guy was even playing golf still. This guy has been horrible, I thought. But if he makes something happen, then by all means, a couple other guys I had, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say he found something this summer over in Europe, right? And again, how much of that he can bring over here, we'll see. But he had a third place finish at the European Masters, fourth place at the Czech Masters, 15th in Italy, top 30 at the BMW. So like a very consistent month or so of golf.
Yeah, you made me go look it up on the OWGR because I didn't see it anywhere else. But
yeah,
when was this stuff? Like, you know,
August. September.
Yeah, a couple months ago.
Recent. Yeah, and then, I mean, even last week, he missed the cut, but he shot 69-72. It's not like he was that far off, so.
Yeah, he's obviously still got the game. I just think it's, you know, just crazy that he's down at this price. Just in general, that's what he's kind of done lately. So, very much a what-have-you-done-for-me-lately sport, especially with DraftKings pricing, each week, week in and week out. I don't hate the Straka call. A couple other guys I had tagged down here, and then we'll move to the betting segment. Nick Taylor. Always a guy I get behind. I just think some of that upside. And then I think about like the, you know, maybe Mav McNeely for cheaper. And not that Nick Taylor's as good as him. Just saying, like, you think back to Pebble Beach where Taylor won the easy version, AT&T, of course, Pro-Am, and where McNeely came second to Berger. And you just got some setups that way where I could see him doing well. Lebiota, 6,400, don't hate, but now I kind of lean your Hagee call. I like him a little bit more. Yeah. And then I thought you were coming on the show last week because Kenny's been calling in sick, calling in the vacation for so many weeks now, but he kept having decent weeks. And even today he texted me, he's like, yeah, I actually did pretty okay last week, but I'm still not coming in this week. He's like, I'm going to get Bear off. I'll be there next week. I was like, okay, cool. Whatever you do, that's all good, man. And last week we talked about Kyle Stanley. And he gave me a lot of shit for good reason, but Kyle Stanley, 6,300, you and I have been on a show together where we've talked about him, did not make the cut last week, but any love for Kyle Stanley?
No, me and Kyle are we're taking a break.
Divorced.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's some guys to play down here though, for sure. And again, you know, a lot of this is going to depend on weather and kind of what your roster builds look like. I played Tyler Duncan last week. He's a Texas guy. I think he went to Texas A&M. Plays well in the wind. Adam Svensson, right? Really good putter, plays well in the wind, had a great year on the Korn Ferry Tour, including a win. Andrew Landry, won in Texas, had a top 10 last week. I think it was a lot of putting last week. You know, we don't have strokes gain data, but it seemed like his GIR and driving accuracy were actually pretty low last week. But I think that's a guy that you can certainly play here. Let me see who else. Brent Snedeker has been making cuts. Oh, I think you have to play Fratelli, right? If you're talking about Texas and wind and all of that, a guy who can go low on any type of golf course. Like, I play Fratelli when he's 6,600, not when he's in the seven. So I'll definitely have some of him this week.
Yeah, I can get behind the Fratelli take for sure. I like Bramlett a little bit. Another guy, almost like your Hagee call, except you have more to go with it. But Bramlett, another guy I just feel like is always in the mix and just has a really good all-around game. It's tough, you know, but at 6,200, if you were trying to make somebody work. Yeah. And I'm not playing him, but what about Chase Koepka right down there at the stone minimum? He's made some of his opportunities, you know, made some work of his opportunities he's got on the PGA Tour. Back here again, any love for a Chase Koepka at the stone minimum this week? Or Paul Barjon? You like a little Paul Barjon?
No, I'd rather take the 100 and gamble on Jimmy Walker again. No, I mean, Bill Haas is there. He played great last week. Like, At least pick someone who made a cut. But no, I'm probably not going to go below Brendan Hagee at 64 because I think he actually makes a lot of sense and I want to play him.
Yeah, I'd probably limit it down here as well. What do you think, like playing one or two of these guys at most, or what are you doing with the 6K range for construction?
Yeah, again, will depend on kind of what I do. But yeah, probably most of my builds are going to be 1-6, 2-7s, 3-9s, or a couple 9s and a 10, just depending on kind of what it looks like.
Yeah, I like that as well. That's how I was thinking of it. So, okay, if there's nobody else you want to talk about down here, talk to me. You got the okay, first off, let's do this. We'll get to the betting card. I know you've got the bets lined up, but yeah, for those that stuck with us, they got the usual Kenny's Cash Game cornerstones. You're pretty good at this game. I think last time you guessed 3 out of 4, right? So you got to take a second with this and dig in. Actually, do this. You look at the picks for a second. I'm going to recap my betting card because I pretty much gave it all away. And then I'll come back to you and try and hit, because Kenny will tell you what they are and we'll see how many you get right. My bets for the week, guys, I've got Brooks Koepka, 30-1. I looked at it this morning. I just said it's been a good year for the number seems wrong. Just bet it, or it's too good to be true. Just give it a shot. I know he missed a cut. I know it's not a major. I know all of those factors, but it doesn't matter in betting. We can all bet the same guy and we can still get there. So I like Brooks. I bet Adam Scott at 33-1. I bet Jason Kokrak at 50-1. We talked a little bit on him earlier. Definitely don't mind that at 50-1. Mito, who I mentioned, at 70. And then Keith Mitchell at 150. So I saved a bet in the holster because I knew Baroff was going to come through and give me something big as far as long shots. We'll get to that. Yep. But do you have the cash game cornerstones ready for the week? Your thoughts?
Yeah. Well, I think so. He is undoubtedly going to choose two from that low 9K range, right? I'm going to say that he goes with Gooch and Wise.
Okay. Gooch and Wise.
And then if I'm going to drop down, I think just based on the price discount alone, I feel like he's going to go back to Mito, and I don't blame him for it. So yeah, Mito, Gooch, and Wise, cash game cornerstones. And my betting card, it's boring because it's the same as yours. I bet four guys. I bet Brooks, Adam Scott, Ryan Palmer, Keith Mitchell.
Yeah, the Palmer one's nice too. You said 100?
Yep, there's 100. You can get that each way. Probably, I mean, I doubt he's going to drop. I don't think anyone's on Ryan Palmer this week. At least if they are, I haven't seen it. But yeah, you could probably still get an each way on him. So,
all right. And then what about the Dubai Championship, the Aviv Dubai Championship? We always give a little extra when you come on these shows. You got any love for that event this week?
Yeah. I think there's a lot, you know, at the top. So the two guys who I like most at the top would be Minwoo Lee and Sam Horsfield. So I'm going to bet at least one of them, maybe both. I did bet Guido, who I never bet. I just, he's now at a point where he's like in the 50s, where I feel like there's actually some value there. So that's an interesting one. And then if you want a bit of a long shot, I would take Francesco Laporta. You can get him probably 80s right now. I wouldn't go much beyond that because the field is pretty strong. You know, Paul Casey's there, Byrne is there, Fleetwood is there. So I don't think you're going to get a, like, triple digit winner at all.
Yeah, guys that never win on the PGA Tour but might be able to do it over there, like Casey and Fleetwood at the top.
They're not a 10-1 though. Never.
Exactly. All right, anything else you want to talk about for this week?
No, I think we're good. Excited about this week. Excited for a break too. You know, I'm sure Wiley and I will be back in January for some real golf, but yeah, looking forward to a good week and anything to get my mind off of football, which is just terrible.
Yeah, it's been bad at times. Yeah, week 8 was good. I said week 8 was great. I thought week 9 was mine, but then it was anything but fine. It was absolutely horrendous.
It was. I'm so bad at wide receiver. That's like,
yeah.
Yeah.
I'm sure you had it like me. We pegged all the running backs this week. You had Chubb. You had Chubb
and CPAT everywhere. So that was easy. Yeah. Obviously played lots of Lamar like everybody. I played lots of Diggs, played lots of DJ Moore. I played Bills again, so just bad. Jarvis Landry, bad.
Horrendous week for some of those quarterbacks too, in good spots.
It was a weird week. Allen, yeah, Cooper, Mahomes, lots of Amari Cooper.
Guys just got crushed.
Yeah, no, it was bad, but Browns won, so, you know, all good.
Yeah, you mentioned Wiley there, the Golflandia podcast. We know we can find you there. Obviously a great one. Anything else you got going on? Otherwise, let the people know where they can find you.
Yep, nope, that's it. Find me on Twitter, rbarrow427. DMs are open. I will post the bets probably tomorrow, but I just kind of gave them away. And let's go with the Honda Classic correlation.
Yeah. Sorry to Tom Jacobs. We still love him. We buried all of his correlations and went with the totally new one. So I'm fine with that. I think it's great. I love everybody. I think it's going to be a good week.
Mine's based on no research. I just want to be clear about that. It's just a hard par 70 that's on Bermuda. So, and yeah. A lot of the guys that I seem to like this week are guys that I have played well there. So,
and I was saying to play guys with Ho in their name to go with the Houston Open. So that can tell you how much we've got as far as correlations go. So him digging in is probably a lot better research than what we came up with here. But I do like the Honda Classic. And hey, you can't spell Honda without Ho. So it all goes together in the end as well.
There you go.
You guys know where to find me on runpuresports.com. Check me out over there. Use promo code DGEN50. Get yourself 50% off the first month's payment. Find me on Twitter at Toe Tag and Tambo. Hit me up there if you guys have any questions. Like, subscribe for the Mayo Media Network. Other than that, let's have a good week and let's win some motherfucking money. DGEN Nation.